Major. The most trusted and longest running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Sports Talk. It's time. We're here at Oak Ridge Nissan. I'm John Wilkerson. Jimmy Hyams continues to broadcast from his super secret location somewhere in East Tennessee and specifically Knox County. But Jimmy, how are you today?
John, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Big thumbs up. It's interesting to walk in with a sprinkle following here at Oak Ridge Nissan, but at the same time, brilliant sunlight and partly cloudy skies. So the one cloud that had raindrops was right over my head. So I guess that would make me, I don't know, Eeyore, my own rain cloud. But big show today, and we look forward to catching up with quite a few people. We're loaded for guests. Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com, he joined us earlier this week when the Board of Control did not vote or choose a plan for high school football this fall or for girls' soccer. But today, there are a lot of football conversations going on because it was media day for area high school football teams out at Three Ridges Golf Course. So can't wait to hear what stood out to Jesse in the conversations that he had. Bob Stoops, Jimmy, you were able to catch up with him earlier this week.
I was. He has been selected for, nominated for the College Football Hall of Fame. I'm sure he's going to get in. And so we were able to catch up with him and talk to him about that honor and also the things he had to say about playing against Tennessee and Neyland Stadium. Very complimentary of the atmosphere and that contest that Oklahoma was able to rally and win in overtime.
We'll look forward to playing that interview and sharing that with you this afternoon. We also, a longtime friend of the program and contributor to Sports Talk, Josh Kendall of The Athletic. He'll join us, Jimmy, from South Carolina.
He will. And one reason we're getting him is the athletic director at South Carolina said that he thinks that they might play before maybe 15,000 to 20,000 at Williams-Brice Stadium if they have any fans at all. So that's a little bit more than we've heard from most athletic directors in the SEC. So we look forward to getting those comments from Josh Kendall.
Brennan Webb, Tennessee golf coach, he'll join us at 5:35. Look forward to catching up with him. As it's hard to believe, Jimmy, but he recently just went past the second anniversary of the day he was hired by the University of Tennessee, and I don't think there's any question he has brought talent and success to Tennessee golf in his two years in Knoxville.
Yes, he has, and he's had a number of players that have had really successful summers. One of his players, we'll talk to him about this, but one of his players playing in the state match play had a couple of hole-in-ones against him during his competition in match play, I think in back-to-back matches. So that's a pretty odd thing to have happen, but Cade Russell had a really good run at the state match play. We'll talk to Coach Webb about that.
That's coming up at 5:35. Also excited to have Laura Rutledge of ESPN. She'll join us at 5:05.
Yes, she is with the SEC Network. She's with ESPN. I've seen her on Get Up. I've seen her on First Take. And also, she is going to be on NFL Live. She's going to be joined by Marcus Spears and Dan Orlovsky in that role.
And we also, it's Friday, so around 6:35, you'll look forward to the music. It'll be Hamer time. VFL all-around great guy Steve Hamer will join us before the end of today's program, and we may be able to work in a comment or two from all the coaches and players that were available today out at Three Ridges. Again, still waiting for some concrete answers as to exactly what this fall football schedule might look like for high school football in Tennessee, but Jimmy, I think it was exciting for coaches and players to get out there and just talk some football for a little bit.
Yeah, and I saw the lineup that they had out there. They had a bunch of coaches, a bunch of schools represented, so really neat that they put that on. It's the Knoxville Football Officials Association that has that media day. Their 14th annual, mm-hmm. And it looked like a really, really good turnout.
It really was. So all that and more today on Sports Talk. And, of course, we are here at Oak Ridge Nissan where you can come on down, take advantage of incredible savings because it's Christmas in July, saving so big They're ginormous. So it's right here where Oak Ridge Nissan exists, and that's where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. So we'll talk with Scott Gropp. And, of course, you can come by here. You can find out the secret word that you text to 68683, and you could be perhaps, when all is said and done, the big winner of this year's Big Ticket 2020 presented by Food City. Now, it's one entry per remote per household, and you must be 18 or older to participate. But come on out. It's a Big Ticket 2020 remote here at Oak Ridge Nissan.
Let's get to our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters, technology you need, people that you can trust. So we'll start with college football. There was so much news that emanated from the Big Ten announcing it was going conference games only. The SEC has not made a decision yet. The SEC has a regularly scheduled meeting on Monday. I don't know if they're going to make a decision at that time or not. Paul Feinbaum with the SEC Network says that playing college football this season is a money grab. And he criticized the Power Five conference commissioners for trying to proceed with playing football this fall. Bill Hancock, who we had on briefly yesterday, said the college football committee is going to try to pick the four best teams. He was asked if there was any minimum number of games that have to be played to qualify, and he said he just didn't know. But by the way, the last time a Power Five team played only all conference games, you got to go back to 1945. When that happened, the Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren said he's not optimistic. He said maybe they will have fall sports in the spring. There have been 36 non-conference games canceled by the Big Ten with their move to conference only, and the indications are the ACC and the Pac-12 will follow suit. The Big 12 is still a little bit more in limbo, but the Commissioner of the Big 12, Bob Bowlesby, advised to quote move ahead slowly. Ohio State's athletic director Gene Smith said that he was cautiously optimistic about football in the fall. Quote, I'm not even there now. So he's a little bit pessimistic. And so is Jack Swarbrick with Notre Dame. He's the athletic director. Less likely to have a season starting on time is what Swarbrick said. And yesterday I saw an article and I raised questions about it, and obviously they're misprints and stuff. It said that Notre Dame and Washington would not be playing, and I thought that don't make any sense. Washington's not in the Big Ten. Well, it was Notre Dame Wisconsin, and that was a game to be played at Lambeau Field. They will not play that game at Lambeau Field now, as the Big Ten going in the direction of conference games only. So that's a lot coming out of the football situation. There were some Big Ten schools that pushed for nine non-conference games and one non-conference game. That's because there are a lot of really attractive non-conference games out there, including Notre Dame and Wisconsin, including Ohio State versus Oregon. But the league decided, no, they were not going to go in that direction. So that's the latest on that situation. And while we're on the NCAA in football, the Football Oversight Committee has voted to waive allowing Division I teams, we'll call them that, to allow two wins over FCS teams to count toward bowl eligibility. It used to be one, but under these current circumstances, they're now saying, okay, if you got two wins against an FCS team, you qualify for a bowl game. Really good source told us that Kara Lawson, former Lady Vols star player, an Olympian, Boston Celtics assistant, Board of Trustees at UT, is a top candidate at Duke. I don't know if she's going to get that job, but certainly I think she would be an outstanding coach for Duke. We'll see if they end up going in that direction. But she is right there in the thick of the hunt for that particular job. All right, a couple of golf notes here. The Workday golf tournament being held in Muirfield Village, that's in Columbus, Ohio. Knoxville's got a couple of players in it, and both of them made the cut. Scott Stallings had an opening 74. He came back with a 68. He's two under par. That ties for 39. The cut right now is at one under, and so at two under, you're safe. Peter Malnati opened with a 68, came back with a 72. He's four under par. He is tied for 12th at this time. So each of them will make the cut, and hopefully they'll have a really good weekend. There was also something that I thought was pretty weird that happened in the golf tournament, and that is this. So there have been six PGA players that have tested positive. Well, three of them played in Muirfield Village. Nick Watney, Ryan Fratelli, and Denny McCarthy. They paired those three together. They paired them together intentionally. And they did that because each of these three went into self-isolation for 10 days, had no symptoms, but still tested positive. And according to a PGA medical official, you can continue to test positive for weeks or even months later because sometimes the tests pick up a dead virus. But they made those three play together so they wouldn't potentially affect anybody else or infect anybody else. And if they make the cut, and they're going to play together tomorrow as well because the first two rounds of the tournament you have the same pairing. If any of them make the cut, they'll play as a single. They will not pair them up with somebody else. Although it would make sense to me that if two of them made the cut, let those two play together, even though their scores may be different. But I was unaware of that. I think that's a new rule with the PGA. I thought it was kind of odd to see that. But anyway, that's what happened with the PGA tournament today. I mentioned earlier Cade Russell from Tennessee in the state match play made the semifinals. Brandon Weir, a local player, he also made the semis. Each of them lost in the semis. The champion is Connor McKay. He played at Lipscomb and just transferred to MTSU. He was the winner. They played that at Lookout Mountain in Chattanooga. All right, a few other notes that are out there, and this is going back to the college football situation. So Buffalo, by not playing Ohio State, is losing out on a $1.7 million buyout. You've got so many of them out there. Kent State was scheduled to make over $5 million by playing Penn State, Kentucky, and Alabama. That's 17% of their budget. The AP reported that there have been 40 Power 5 conference games there are nearly 40 non-conference games with Power 5 teams that involve buyouts worth $65 million. That's a lot of money. Now, the MAC had 11 games scheduled against Big Ten teams. That's more than $10 million that a variety of MAC schools will not cash in on, including Bowling Green, which had two games set against Big Ten teams. So here was another deal. I don't remember exactly who it was, an unnamed source, and I can't remember if it was an athletic director at a group of five or not. But he raised the legal issue. Can the Big Ten actually opt out of these buyout games if they are going to play conference games? What's their justification? How can you say you're not going to do these buyout games, these non-conference games, and not pay them, and you're going to turn around and play non-conference games? That's going to be an interesting argument, I think, that conferences, John, are going to face.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid question. It's one thing to say that we can't play any of these games because we're not playing football at all. But if you are indeed going to have a schedule, I think that there could be. It comes down to, I guess, what they're willing to negotiate, as well as maybe it can be parlayed into future scheduling. And who knows? But I think that's a fair question, and it will be interesting to see what answer is presented.
Yeah, exactly. Zion Williamson, allegedly his stepfather took $400,000 from a marketing agency in 2008, according to court documents. That would have made Zion Williamson ineligible to play at Duke. The attorney for the Williamson family says those accusations are, quote, patently fraudulent. So I guess we'll see. You got documents that say the payments were made. You got an attorney saying no, they weren't. Who knows? But that's not a very pretty situation that we've got going on right now. I mentioned yesterday how China is canceling all international events in 2020. That includes two golf tournaments. That includes a PGA tournament that was scheduled for late October and an LPGA tournament that was scheduled for mid-October. Also, the World Golf Championship tournament, PGA tournament in Memphis, the St. Jude Classic, they are going to play it without fans. They had initially planned to play it with a limited number of fans that are there. Wimbledon tennis tournament is paying qualifiers, those that were qualified to make the main draw, $32,000 each. There's been a movement up front to help the pros that have not done so well on the circuit, and so Wimbledon's going to pay everybody that was a qualifier at least $32,000 if you had qualified for the main draw. Interesting move there. NCAA basketball vice president Dave Gavitt said that it's premature to consider any dramatic alternatives to the NCAA basketball tournament next year. He said there are no plans at this point to move the 2021 NCAA basketball tournament. Duke coach David Cutcliffe said he wants conference games only in the ACC. He said that provides flexibility, and he is, quote, very optimistic, close quote, we will have a college football season. And then Tim Kirkjian with ESPN said that he talked to a manager, baseball manager, who told him he thought it was 50-50 that they would start the season on time and 25% that they would finish the season. I don't like those odds, if that guy's right. Buster Posey, star catcher San Francisco, he is opting out. He and his wife recently adopted twin girls, so he is not going to play, citing the girls. So that's another baseball player that's not going to be there. The Nets are ended up, they're scrambling to try to find a roster. So they have signed Michael Beasley on the heels of signing 40-year-old Jamal Crawford. What makes the Beasley signing more interesting is he's got to serve a 5-game suspension over violation of drug policy. So even while he's there, he can't play for the first 5 games. So I'm thinking, well, why do you go that direction? You'd think you could find somebody else, but anyway, maybe they were that desperate to find somebody that they could put in a uniform and play. So another baseball note, baseball is going to start the 2021 season on April the 1st. All teams will play on the same day for the first time since 1968. I did not know that stat went back that far.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that would be the case. And I guess that's to open the season, right?
Correct. Season opener. Yeah. Everybody's going to play on the same day in the season opener. Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would have thought that would have been much more recent than that. But that's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Again, a lot coming your way today, and the program comes to you from Oak Ridge. We're here at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and we've got more coming your way on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Only one radio station makes your workday a little more manageable. Only one station is 99.1. The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. The program today here at Oak Ridge Nissan. And again, it's an opportunity for you for the Big Ticket 2020 presented by Food City. So you can come in, and it's very easy to find the word that you text today while we're on the air. It must be texted in before 7 o'clock. So you come find the word. It's right here on our table, loud and proud. Text it to 68683, and you'll be in the running to win season tickets. Tennessee football, Vols and Lady Vols basketball, softball, baseball. You've got Titans tickets, Ice Bears, and more, including a club seat experience that's going to be fantastic. So come on by Oak Ridge Nissan and get registered for the Big Ticket 2020 presented by Food City.
John, earlier today, Josiah Jordan James was on a conference call, and one of the things he said that was very intriguing, he was asked his thoughts on a point guard that a lot of people haven't really talked a whole lot about on the Tennessee team. He's a transfer, Victor Bailey Jr. Here's what Josiah James said. I honestly think Victor Bailey Jr. is the best kept secret in all of college basketball. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
If that rings true, then look out, because I think Tennessee is so well stocked at guard, and if Bailey ends up being that good, one of the better players around, to go with the rest of the guards that Tennessee has, to go with all the other players, I just think it's going to be an extraordinarily exciting and fun season for Tennessee men's basketball. But and I'd heard really good things about Bailey during practice. I had not heard anybody say to take it to that level, which I thought was pretty impressive. So we'll see what he can do, but from what I understand, he's a good defender. He's a very good ball handler. He's a capable scorer, very good passer. Not much he can't do as a point guard, so I'm looking forward to watching him play in real time.
Yeah, we have heard good things about him, but now, of course, you have when his teammates sing his praises, I think that kind of whets the appetite even more.
Yeah, absolutely it does. So, all right, just a couple of other notes as far as NASCAR. Austin Cindric wins the Xfinity race at Kentucky. He had a two-lap overtime situation that he won. He ended up beating out Chase Briscoe, among others. That was the first Xfinity oval race win for Austin, and is his third career win. They got another Xfinity race tonight. They got a couple more races this weekend. Justin Allgaier hospitalized after a crash on the last lap. A bit of a concern there. I don't know an updated situation for him. But also, this is the, how about this one? The eighth time in the last 14 races this season that there has been a pass for victory in the final two laps. That's pretty exciting for NASCAR, yeah. Regardless of what race it is. That's pretty exciting. So you're seeing some really good racing. You're seeing them compacted. And I think you're seeing a lot of eyeballs watching what's going on with NASCAR.
Yeah, and not only has it been one of the few sports that has been able to return and get back in the swing of things, but the action has been outstanding. And so it's not surprising for those that either won, hadn't watched in a while, or those that are completely and brand new to the sport. I think it is something that has had quite a few returning from one week to the next, as the numbers show exactly that. That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. When we return, we'll catch up with Jesse Smith, the five-star preps, as he joins us next on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we get to say hello to Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps. As this afternoon, Jesse, or I should say this morning, I know it had to be a lot of fun to actually talk more football than board meetings.
I was just excited just to see football players and see football jerseys and coaches and some administrators, so it was good just to get out and see the faces again and the people that you've been texting and calling during the pandemic. And so whether we get to have a season or not, or if it's condensed or whatever, it was just good to be a part of something football related.
To be out at Three Ridges, and as we talked about some during News and Notes, it was another fantastic event. There's always excitement and enthusiasm, but what were you most enthusiastic or excited to either talk to players and or coaches and or administrators about?
I would say the first thing I really started to ask coaches about would be if they've started adjusting their schedules. I've already heard of a few games that have been canceled that maybe hasn't been released publicly, but when the TSSAA presented four plans for the high school football season during their Board of Control meeting on July 1st, coaches started to get into scramble mode a little bit, because if they were going to reduce down to seven or eight games, then they wanted to go ahead and be prepared to figure out what their region games are going to be, and that's going to be determined by the TSSAA if they implement one of those plans. But then some of them have a few slots in their schedule they would still have to fill. And so I talked with coaches about that today and if they've made any moves or made any calls, and I actually got to witness firsthand a couple of the coaches just talking to each other and saying, hey, if we do this, do you think we could pick up a game with you guys? And so that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen in July. These are two-year contracts that are usually locked up well in advance, and here they are in July when they should be doing preparations and seven-on-sevens or maybe trying to find a last-minute scrimmage. They're trying to maybe jockey themselves and move their chess pieces and try to find a certain game or two to fill up a schedule if one of these options that the TSSAA went over is actually put into place.
Jesse, when do you think we will really know when one of these options is put into place? Are you willing venture out there and take a guess?
Well, the next Board of Control meeting that we actually know about is July 22nd. And that's supposed to be for classification, but so was the Board of Control meeting for July 1st. So that's the one thing that we know that is cemented, is that they will be convening and actually doing that in person at Siegel High School on July 22nd. Siegel's over in Murfreesboro, and that'll be a 2:00 Eastern meeting. And again, that's supposed to be a workshop session for the next classification cycle, but wouldn't surprise me if it becomes a little hybrid meeting, and because Bernard Childress has gone on record as saying he'd like to have a plan in place by the end of the month. And July 2nd or 22nd is very close to the end of the month. And so I think he's trying to give the governor's office a couple more weeks. They last met on July 8th. Next meeting is July 22nd. That's two full weeks for them to analyze data further and maybe make a decision on if they're going to classify high school football in the same realm as college football and pro football. But right now, when you start to look at the landscape of college football, which often influences high school football, it's you got to wonder if the governor's office is going to take that into account, the TSSAA is going to take that into account, how college football is trimming back their schedule right now to league games only. And so we'll see what type of influence that has on their decision, if any.
Don't you think the high school football coaches and the guy that runs five-star prep would like to know before July 22nd?
We would have liked to know a couple months ago. That's how we all operate. And I even asked some of these coaches today, I was like, how are you guys dealing with this? Because as I've said on y'all's show many times, they're creatures of habit. They like to have things planned out and do that well in advance and know what they're going to do each day of the summer. And they pass out all those plans to parents and players. And it changes by the day. It changes by the week. And so they're actually having to practice what they preach with players. When they preach to players that, hey, things are going to change crazy during the game. It's not going to always go as planned. And here they are having to put their own words into practice.
We've talked about it already, Jesse, with the TSSAA has requested that it be put in essentially the same classification as pro sports, as college and universities. Do you find that coaches are – do you think that there's any back and forth in terms of where they stand on that? I know on the one hand, if they are indeed given that kind of rating or classification by the by the governor, then they can go ahead and go with their season – as is. And if that's the case, I know that that's what would be the most enjoyable for coaches in their programs. But there's also, do you think there's any pushback from some coaches in the sense that you're talking about, say, 14 to 18-year-olds being looked at in the same way that you would 18 to 22-year-olds and, of course, professional athletes that are in their 20s into their 30s?
Yeah, some of the coaches I've talked to really find themselves in a tough spot on how to approach this all, because on one hand they have deeply competitive type of parts of their DNA, and so they want nothing more than to start this season on time and to do it how they plan, play a full regular season schedule, play full playoffs, and just go full steam ahead. And some of that frustration that they might have is because they see some of their colleagues down in Georgia or Alabama or Texas, Louisiana, I believe Kentucky now too, are all seemingly going forward with fall sports. But they also have this conundrum of wanting to protect those 14 to 18-year-olds and doing what's best for them. We've seen some high school programs this week go ahead and cancel practices because they know that all these high school kids or a majority of their rosters were down in Florida last week, or maybe they're down at a different beach. And so it's imperative that they take that into account and realize that they've been out of state. They've been around people possibly that have COVID-19. And so they decided to go ahead and extend their dead period another week just because they have to be protective of these teenage kids and keep it from spreading. And they know that if they start getting a spike in cases within their own program, it's likely going to trickle into possibly the other communities. And so it's hard. It's hard for these coaches to temper their competitive nature and put health and safety at the forefront of it all. I mean, they already do that as it is with concussions and heat and safety regulations, and here's just another thing that they need to take into consideration.
Our guest Jesse Smithy of Five-Star Prep says he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline. As the TSSAA continues to mull what option it's going to pursue for football as well as girls' soccer. Do you think there's any influence from what neighboring states or other high school associations are doing, or do you think this is all governor's office, how the TSSAA feels, and its board of control and state and local authorities?
Well, I've been able to interview Bernard Childress kind of one-on-one for a couple of different podcast episodes, and that's one thing that he and I always talk about is just how often he's in communication with associations from Kentucky or North Carolina, Virginia, or Georgia, and they talk with regularity. So I'm sure Bernard Childress and the staff at the TSSAA have noticed what Georgia is doing, and Georgia's going full steam ahead with their high school football, and Alabama's doing the same, and Kentucky came out today and announced that they're going to have fall sports in some form or fashion, and so I'm sure that they're taking into account and maybe calling those associations to see what they used to make that decision and what data they used to make that decision that maybe Tennessee could possibly put into play. But I think right now, in the short term, the TSSAA is putting its eggs in the basket of Governor Lee and hoping that he makes a decision to possibly let them start the season on time.
Jesse, did you say you thought there might have been a silver lining to the TSSAA delaying the decision earlier this week?
Right. I mean, the silver lining is just what we're talking about, is that the governor hasn't said no. Okay. He hasn't said no to the TSSAA's request to try to start the season on time. And that, going back to something we talked about earlier, had there been a vote Wednesday, I think you would have seen just kind of an avalanche of coaches starting to cancel games or reschedule games and doing all that because maybe say maybe option two was picked and there's an 8-game regular season, they need to chop off a couple of games. Well, what if later on the governor says, okay, we can start on time? Well, then there'd be mass chaos of just trying to reschedule games and recoup games, and then the TSSAA would come under fire for that. So it was almost a no-win situation Wednesday with what they did with their meeting. But the silver lining was there's still optimism that if the numbers improve a little bit or show reason to improve over a course of time, that we might get to start on time.
Hey, what'd you think of the twins from Central, Liam and Caleb Fortner, committing to Army?
I thought it was a great opportunity. And the more I learn about those two young men and their family, it wasn't surprising. I didn't know this until a couple of days before their commitment, but I didn't know that both of his parents had actually served, I think, with the Navy in some capacity. So when you grow up in a household like that, and maybe your parents have that type of mentality towards life and maybe raise you in the same way, it's not so much of an intimidation factor when Army approaches you or when Air Force approaches you. You know that you can handle that way of life or adjust to it quickly. And so when you talked to Caleb Fortner or Liam about their decision, they were totally enticed by Army, and not just the football aspect of it, but what they could do, what Army can do for them for the rest of their life. And so I was excited that both of them get the opportunity. For Liam is a guy that I saw him today, and he just looks like a completely different person. He had a breakout season last year and really started to make a name for himself and step out of his brother's shadow. And I think he's going to continue to do that this fall and even be a better receiver and possibly a safety in the secondary. He looked to be like 6'2", 6'3", today, and I know Bryson Rosser always spoke well of him, and so does new coach Nick Craney. And of course, Caleb has been my defensive player of the year, my defensive underclassman of the year, a 5A championship MVP player. So Army's getting two great players from East Tennessee, no doubt.
It's been a pretty nice run this summer for the Bobcats, simply for the fact that the good news just continues. Consider all things considered and where situations lie, but it wasn't that long ago that they had the surprise visit from Bryson Rosser as he was on hand when they got their second straight championship ring. Then they were able to celebrate graduation, and now you get not one, but with the Fortners on their way after committing to West Point, this is it's a great time to be in Fountain City, don't you think?
It is, and you can tell when those guys walk in the media day now. I mean, you just see the confidence. It's not arrogance, it's not swag, it's just a quiet confidence, and I think people respect that program once again. And so what they've been able to do really over the last 5 or 6 years under Bryson Rosser and probably will continue under Dick Craney is something to be respected. And so not only will the attention that the Fortners bring because of their commitment help that program, it's going to help the kids around them as well. As film gets out about the Fortners or coaches possibly stop by, if they're able to somewhere down the line, they're going to get to see the other talent at Central High School, and there's other talent there.
And it is, while we have not seen camps and things going on as you would expect them to normally, still you have schools like Central Michigan that are reaching into East Tennessee to try and lure players to their program, correct?
Yeah, they just recently offered Alcoa defensive end Taheran Sudarith, and Taheran is a guy that's gotten offers from Temple and a number of other Division I programs out there. He's somebody that I spoke with today and really enjoyed my conversation with. A lot of charisma and energy about that young man, and he's somebody that just popped into the lineup last year as a junior at Alcoa and now going into his senior year, and he talked about how he's changed his diet and how he changed his preparation just by working out with Gray Carroll. And of course, Gray is a Georgia Tech commitment. And so Taheran doing everything that he can to better himself, and then those offers keep rolling in for him. He's an impressive looking young man, and it's going to be interesting to see him play a little offense this year from the fullback position at Alcoa. And he's also going to be out there on the defensive end side.
You mentioned the work that he's done as an individual, and especially when it comes to nutrition. And yeah. How different is that in terms of all you've seen, all you've covered in these parts, when you see these young men have this kind of mindset that, I mean, it just seems like, okay, when I get to college, maybe I'll be able to go the smoothie route or something like that. But you also did a feature you all did on Eli Purcell, who has also done incredible work in retooling his physique. What's it like to see these like-minded individuals at the high school level do so much work in such a very specific part of the approach to making themselves the best athletes they can be?
Well, we've all had the metabolism of a 15-year-old at one point in our lives, and so you could eat what you wanted to and drink what you wanted to, and it just never seemed to really affect you that much. But over the last 10 to 12 years or so, as these athletes continue to work closer and closer with personal trainers or just guys like that or certain facilities that they go to, I'm sure they get hammered with nutritional knowledge. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. And when it works for one of their teammates, they're going to try it too. And Gray Carroll's been able to up his physique from, 240 last year, 245 to about 255 this year. And I'm sure it piqued the interest of some of his teammates. So there you see Taheran Sudarith working out with Gray Carroll and learning what he knows. And so they all want to be college ready. They all want to play right away. And to do that, you got to not only take your academics seriously and your athletics seriously, but your nutrition and how you present your body as a college freshman.
Jesse, what are you looking forward to working up from all that you and Danny Parker were able to experience and the folks you were talking to today?
Yeah, we got about 16 to 20 videos that we're going to be unveiling over the next week or so. We have a couple up on our YouTube channel right now. We've also posted those on all of our social media platforms. So a lot of interviews from today, a lot of photos that we'll be doing, and a couple of articles that will be coming out of it as well. We're going to continue to roll out season previews coming up, and we'll have a preview on Gatlinburg-Pittman today. And so just a lot of content to be able to come out of today's media day. So that's nice to have.
Jesse, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right. Thanks, John. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you. Jesse Smithy of 5-Star Preps. We'll get a break. A final segment of this first hour of Sports Talk is next on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Check. Thank you very much. Just a big hunk of burning love.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and it is an absolute pleasure to be here. Yeah, the feels like might be 100 outside, but incredible savings, cool savings here since it is Christmas in July at Oak Ridge Nissan.
Oh, oh. Wholesale to the public. Folks, I'm telling you, I got a sack full of goodies, and I'm telling you, I'm ready to share. It's big savings, and we're off to a huge start in July. And thank you for making us number one. I know it sounds a little redundant each time we get together, but East Tennessee made us number one again in the district. And number one Nissan dealer because of you folks, because you want more for your trade. You want to pay less for the new Nissan. You want to save thousands of dollars. That's what we do.
It's representative of what the experience is for the customer in all facets of the approach. And that is, you've got, it's a testament to your sales staff because they're not there to lean on somebody to make something happen. They're there to just say, what do you need? Here's what we got, and here's what we can do for you. Then you have the service after the sale, which is remarkable, award-winning, guys that have been doing it for years and years and years. So that's why you get the repeat customers, and that's why some folks might come in for one car and leave with two.
Man, he is so eloquent when he speaks. Holy smokes, folks. I need not say any more. Brother John has spelled it out before, during, and after in you know, little street talk. It's like Burger King. You get, have it your way, folks. I'm just telling you, plain and simple, you want more for yours, less for ours. And I'll tell you what, we've got Sentra starting at $14,688. We've got Altima or Rogue, our number one sellers. Listen to me, you choose starting at $18,688. Bottom line is, John, you know it. You've been coming for years. You're going to save thousands of dollars. We're always thousands less on the new Nissan. I load the wagon in the trade. I mean, no one's going to put more in a trade than me. In fact, my guys tell them, they tell the customers on the phone, the owner doesn't know what the heck the car's worth. He's going to step into it like nobody's business, and guess what happens? They buy, because I do. I load the wagon. So that's what we do here, and that's why we're the Wally World of Nissan dealers, I always say.
So if someone's listening via the World Wide Web in, say, Bangladesh, how long does it take to get here?
I'd be saying, you're just 10 minutes, brother. Make that drive, 10 minutes from Bangladesh.
And do you realize at that rate of speed, somebody in Hardin Valley can get here before they left?
Hey, we do magic tricks, okay?
That they do.
Make the drive.
That's Scott Gropp. Woo! I'm John Wilkerson. Come get registered for the Big Ticket 2020. We've got the word you text to 68683. And, of course, take advantage. Ginormous July. Christmas in July here at Oak Ridge Nissan. Hour number two of Sports Talk is next on 99.1, The Sports Animal.